ladies and gentlemen, Living
Thank you, everyone. Welcome to Thomas's 5th anniversary birthday bash bonanza, if we can call it that. And the illusion is ruined.
Yep.
It only took Lucid 5 seconds. Thank you, Lucid.
New record.
You're a friend. You're a real friend.
Hey, if you didn't want me to ruin the illusion, if you didn't want me to burst the bubble, you wouldn't have called me in.
I can still hope.
Oh, I'm sorry. Was that out loud?
Yeah.
My bad.
No, guys, welcome. I got 5 years podcasting, and God, this is going to be a fun night, hopefully. Hopefully we're going to have a lot of people to call in. Don't know that. The green room's still building, still building. Hopefully we're going to get a lot more people coming in the near future. But, of course, I have my two of my best friends here. I have Chris, Chris is from the Shaft Plus podcast, who's basically given me all my breaks here, well, I'm very thankful for. Chris, how are you doing tonight?
Okay, first I'd like to apologize to all of the internet for giving this person a chance.
This is why I don't have any...
This is why we're his only friends.
Yeah.
And look how we treat him.
And speaking of people who gave me my first chance, the man who I, when the lawyers and the policemen ask me who's responsible for everything, the man I point to, Lucid Dream.
I loose my evil upon the world in mysterious ways. Wah, wah.
While speeding down the highway at 60 miles per hour with people in your trunk.
Hey, that only happened very rarely, and only under very specific circumstances.
But you know what? The amazing part is, it's been five years since I've known all of you. 5 years since I stumbled across this wonderful podcast called the Super Anime Fun Time Podcast.
I think you missed a letter there.
Yeah.
It's Speed Time Fun Happy Fun Time Podcast.
It's such a special thing to me, I can't remember the name.
I know. I have problems with names.
Way to make us feel bad.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Of course, other podcast called, what was it called? Anime Run Table in Review?
Yeah, because we ran away every show. Especially when you came out.
But yeah, no, found you guys 5 years ago, and soon after that, I was lucky, and I do say truly lucky, because I didn't, again, run away scared, that Chris and Gene gave me a chance to be a part of Shaft, the super anime happy, a super happy anime fun time show.
Wow, you know, really, I am really second-guessing my decision now.
It took you this long?
Oh, man.
Honestly, has it changed for you guys 5 years? I know a lot has changed for me, especially for me and Chris. You know, Shaft has gone from being audio to video, back to audio.
Wait, what are you talking about? We went to video. I don't remember going to video.
There was no video, period.
Yeah.
Yeah, we went to it happened.
There was no video, period.
It happened.
I like to call those...
This is not the time in history you're looking for.
I like to call those the Dark Ages.
The Dark Ages. Dark Ages.
That probably had to be the single biggest mistake, in a way, that we made with the show. It was just... We saw somewhat of a need for something like that, but the issue was we kind of jumped into it without a lot of planning, and no one really wants a video anime show.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing is, again, you know, the Nostalgia Critic has done such a wonderful job at, you know, doing the video aspect of it and making it successful, and I think... That's one aspect that's happened of podcasting that is kind of not like this. I think there's a lot of podcasts that are trying to make a business out of it and trying to. And don't get me wrong, I don't knock anybody for trying to make any money off anything, but at the same point in time, a lot of these podcasts, people who are listening to you, are not listening to you so that you can make money. They're listening because they have fun, and they don't become fun anymore, especially once they switch to video.
Yeah, rule one: especially, if you're in this for the money, you're an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, also adding the fact there are a lot of people, I'm not like I'm raising my hand up or anything, who are not meant to be seen on video.
Yeah, I know. I got a picture of you on Skype, and that's enough.
Hey, I met him in person. How do you think I feel?
You met him with your... Well, you met him with his shoes off.
Yes.
and we're back to my shoes.
Oh, God, I want to throw up now.
Hey, you called us in on this. What did you expect?
Oh, man.
Oh, Lord.
But, yeah, I mean, we kind of burnt ourselves out in a way, because we were spending all this time writing show notes, filming, which took about half an hour to an hour, and then... editing, and it really resulted in, I think, the highest normal show that we had only had about maybe a couple hundred views, if that. Our audio show was doing well above that. So, you know, and then plus just the, not the pushback, but just the overall... community, online community, and just a bunch of other stuff just burnt us out, and we decided to just kind of back away. Gene was more vocal and livid about it, but I was more kind of burnt out, and also really the only one that kind of wanted to continue, so they had no support, and, you know, figured I'll take a step back, take a look in a year or so, and see if we want to continue.
Yeah. Well, I know for me, it really was a fun time, because it was, I had a schedule. And, you know, for people who don't know, I have autism. Which explains a lot, but...
And yet we still make fun of him.
Yeah.
Because that's the kind of people we are.
It makes me stronger, Lucy.
Yeah, that's what it is. That was our entire purpose. Really.
Yeah.
was. It's character building. Yes.
Yeah.
Straight and tight.
But no, it really is a thing to where, you know, for me being autism, and I'm really am borderline, but for that matter, you know, one of the things I really need is schedule, and having something to where every week I would have to put out a video gave me a schedule that I was really grateful for, and I really enjoy putting out all the podcasts I did, from the short 10-minute Tom's Prerogatives. I can't tell you how much fun I had doing what turned into a 40-minute, two-part video on Gurren Lagann. But, you know, the Thomas's Top Fives and everything, which, oddly enough, the one that is seemingly the most popular is my Thomas's Top Five, Top Five Baseball Animes.
Interesting.
No, seriously, that is the most popular. It's still the most popular on Blip.
Well, there's no accounting for taste.
Wow.
Zing. See, not only am I going after Thomas, I'm going after his listeners, too.
Apology to this person, apology to this person.
Bring forth your fanboy rage. I feed upon it.
Yep. But, no, I just had so much fun doing those videos. I just, unfortunately, I don't think we had the situation to extend it to a point to where a lot of other people were going to what a lot of people wanted to see, as far as with an anime podcast, or a video podcast. It's just, the unfortunate thing is, with anybody doing video, everybody's comparing you to the Nostalgia Critic, or the other top people doing video.
Yeah, well, not all of us have that kind of extra money and time.
Yeah,
we can't hire a staff to work on it for us,
or an entire warehouse to film.
Yeah,
at.
The other
you know what?
Too.
More power to MC for being able to do it, though.
Oh, absolutely.
The other thing too is that audio is just a such that much more of a portable medium to kind of do a show than video. Whereas video, you kind of have to you expect your audience to be invested for those 20 to 40 minutes. Whereas audio, you can just load it on your MP3 player and go anywhere with it and start and stop whenever you want to.
Hey, see, I'll admit, when I see a vidcaster and I look and see over 20 minutes, I really have to sit there and debate, do I have time for this crap?
Yeah.
I'm looking at you, Angry Joe.
Well, it's, and I do.
Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. I love Angry Joe's stuff, but God, can you go on?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it is thing. Like, for instance, and there are times where like, Nostalgia Critic will do a 40-minute, like his recent Les Miserables review, which I thought was brilliant,
yes,
by the way.
Yes, but that was a crossover one. You know, that's something I'll give special exception to, because they're doing a crossover gig using multiple people.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just don't want to stare at one person for, you know, 45 minutes to an hour.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. That's understandable.
When you have Brett DeFloss writing the entire score of a review,
that
then,
helps.
You know.
that helps too. But yeah, but then I think what was best for, you know, Chris and me with the Shaft podcast, which eventually then turned into the Shaft Plus podcast, and of course my podcast was going back to audio. And for that part, I've been going strong, and I'm up to 70 episodes. I've been doing it. For when did we go back? We went back to audio. What? 2011.
The fall. Let's see.
I wouldn't necessarily call it going back to audio. I'd call it abandoning video.
Yeah. I mean, we stopped. Let's see. What was it? We stopped around mid. Was it 2011? I think so. And then we just recently went back to audio. On April 1st is when we officially, you know, relaunched the site and everything.
Greatest joke we've ever played.
Yep.
We like our jokes to play the long game.
Yes.
But no, it's a thing to where going back, starting, and I'm 71 episodes, and I've really been able to turn Tom's prerogative into what I've always wanted to be. And of course, alongside doing all of that, the other podcasts I've gotten to do, getting to do Tokyo SOS, which I've had so much fun doing over the years. Just many great episodes on that podcast. Of course, the one with Lucid is still my favorite just for the amount of hate mail.
Oh, yeah, I totally ruined that episode. I really did.
With the amount of poking.
It, folks. I trashed that episode. I was exhausted, cranky, and took it out on everybody.
But it made for a fun time. It really did.
I'm gonna call him back again. And you're
up. But yeah, and then Comic Book Crazy, which has just been a roller coaster of ups and downs. With me, the only podcast to date that has made me lose like 50 friends on Facebook because I said something offensive. No, I'm serious about that. I lost 50 friends on Facebook because I said something offensive.
Oh, no. You lost Facebook friends.
Again, that whole I don't need enemies aspect of my life, folks.
Hey, you're talking to a guy who abandoned his Facebook account, yep. Deleted it, and went, no, not dealing with this crap. Nope.
Yep. But and then of course Hexcast, which oh my god, I've had so much fun doing that podcast, getting to interview, you know, Jim Ballant and Holly Golightly, the creators of that comic. And again, first I know you've seen what that comic is about, somewhat.
Boobs.
Not quite, but
no, it's just boobs.
Is it Gus with boobies along with the boobies?
Yes.
But main focus
we are R-rated,
here,
right?
We are,
okay,
yes.
Good.
Do you want me to tell the Billy Crystal story that he told on Daily Show a couple nights ago?
Yeah, let's not. Moving on.
It's just been so much fun. And where do you see podcasting going in the future, guys?
Well, let's see. If Verizon and the Congress have their way, there will be no more podcasting.
Let's go back to reality, because as much as we may be afraid of that, let's be honest, I don't think that's really going to happen.
There's enough stupid people
around.
But, you know, if it doesn't happen, which I really hope it doesn't, and people come to their senses at this point and realize how stupid they are and how much it's going to break everything that we've built up in the last, 20 years. But, you know, the future of podcasting, I really don't see it changing as much as it is now. Probably going to be seeing, I don't necessarily want to say less podcasting, but I don't know. I think it's going to stay the way it is and kind of move along, you know?
Well, let's be honest. As a medium, how much change can there be to it?
Yeah. I mean, it's audio, so, you know.
It's pretty much the same now as it was, 100 years ago. Or nearly 100 years ago.
It really is, and I see it as being something more of an expansion for people to get maybe into the entertainment industry. I think I see podcasts and video podcasts and audio podcasts and stuff like that to be looked at with more respect and looked at, because now you have semi-celebrities, like small-town TV actors or small-time like TV actors and people like that who are now doing their own podcasts, which is frustrating to go to, or at least feel like I'm getting pushed out of going, getting like press badges, because this big time convention is giving press passes now to these small time celebrities who now have a podcast. But at the same point in time, I do see that, well, this is where the future is going.
Well, I don't necessarily think that you're going to start seeing a great birth of, shall we say, Z-list celebrities out of the audio cast market anymore.
Yeah, well, I think those mostly going to be in a video. Yeah,
yeah, those are going to come out of video casting. It's sad, it's unfortunate, but it's true. Even though podcasting is going to maintain a larger potential audience than a vidcast, simply because, like Chris said earlier, you know, portability.
Yeah. I think the final aspect on podcasts is, what podcasts do you guys like to listen to? Because I know I have my favorites. I, as I call them, I pimp them at the end of every show. But, you know, shows like Critical Hit over at Major Spoilers, which is a Dungeons & Dragons 4th edition podcast, where they are at, you know, basically it's them doing a campaign, which has gotten me into Dungeons & Dragons. All the podcasts is like the 2-2 Freaks podcasting network, which I absolutely love. The stuff that Michael Bailey does, Views from the Long Box, and From Crisis to Crisis. I enjoy listening to all those podcasts, and they're all on my list. Like, when a new episode comes out, I have to listen to it.
I really don't have too much time to listen to podcasts anymore. Back in when we started Shaft around 2006, you know, I was a traveling technician, so I had all the time in the world sitting in my car driving from place to place. You know, the stuff I used to listen to was Twit or This Week in Tech. I would listen to our show just to make sure that, you know, that it was edited correctly and all that crap. Let's see, the Anime Roundtable and Review.
Yeah, what happened to that show?
Yeah.
Well, there's a long story involved in that I will not tell.
And neither will I, so, you know.
Let's just We've say there were secrecy. Some disagreements, a parting of ways, the show changed, and
I thought the simple,
went off the air.
I thought the simple answer is it just became hijacked.
That would be
in many ways.
Yeah.
Yes.
But let's be honest, you know, I did that show for, God, what was it, 140 to 150 episodes?
Including Hijack, right?
Yes. Because I want to say it was 118 episodes before it became hijacked. And then we went, what, 6 months at hijacked? And that's doing an episode a week, which equaled a full series and or movie each week. So yeah. Believe me, if anybody understands burnout, it's me. I defy you all to describe a better form of anime burnout.
And that,
it's still going.
Well,
the
here's
burnout,
the thing.
Not the show.
The burnout, yes.
Yeah.
Is, you know, the show, you know, Hijacked officially ended, what was that, mid-late 09? Somewhere around there, give or take. Because Anime Roundtable and Review transitioned out late February of 09.
Yeah.
And I haven't really watched much anime since, to be honest. Maybe 2-3 series since.
Yeah.
In the last 4 years.
Absolutely. Wow, I feel really depressed now.
Hey, I'm the one who's been in this crap longest.
Well, the funny...
Podcasting, you know, it sucks your soul.
You know, the funny thing is, Anime Roundtable and Review and Shaft pretty much started right around the same time, yet it wasn't until you guys decided to do the Full Metal Alchemist review that we really didn't interact with each other.
October 08.
Okay. And the funny thing is, you know, I went around looking for other anime podcasts just to see what else was out there. I could never find you guys. And then I get an email from Lucid, and I'm like, inviting us to be on the show. And we were like,
who the hell is this guy?
Yeah, we were like, is this like spam or something? Or like someone trying to just like, you know, scam us into doing something?
Yeah, and then he looks at it, it's like, 100 episodes? The hell?
Yeah, and then we go on the show, and it was what, like 3 hours long? And
oh, God, I don't remember, but they, that was one of our longer ones.
I remember my first appearance was during their game show night, which I still have the CD I won from them.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
And I actually do listen to the Gundam soundtrack CD you sent me. But, yeah, and I believe I drove your producer crazy that night.
Yeah, well, welcome to the club. I drove him nuts constantly.
there was apparently, it's like, I can never be on the show again. because people were mad at me because I took up too much time.
You know, I think I remember talking to him and he was complaining to me about you.
Oh, and all for me trying to be funny, yeah. Like just trying to do simple little comedic like game show shtick. Oh, can I phone a friend?
You see, this is where you have to leave the funny to me.
Yeah.
That's what Gene and Chris do.
Yes. Yep.
They even told, you know, when they invited me to be part of the new Shaft team, I was specifically told, I don't have to watch anything, I don't have to research anything, I just have to be there and try and be funny.
Yep.
Okay, I can do that.
And then, of course, you know, my numerous appearances, which first started with of all things, the Akira episode. which actually isn't an anime, which I like it, I just think it's overrated.
Yep.
And then of course, the Kaleido Star episodes, which both the Kaleido Star and the Princess Tutu episodes, I think, and I know, it may be me being biased, but I just think me, Lucid, Edwin, Phantom, all of us on there.
For the rest
all
of
together.
You, that's random.
Yeah. Well, he likes to be known as Edwin, the artist formerly known as Random.
Yes, but you see, anybody who actually listened to the old show would have no clue who you're talking about.
Yeah. But, you know, just those. I think my favorite bit still is Princess Tutu. Somehow we put the seal from Kaleido Star and an Evangelion doing ballet.
Well, stranger things have been known to happen.
I still remember that. Like it went from that to us talking about what if wars were fought with ballet. That's the type of insanity that we were. What's just fun. But trying to move the ship, because there's a lot of people in our green room I know are waiting, and I want to get to them.
Good luck, folks.
Again, I have this ADD.
Now.
Yeah. I have this ADD thing going. And the fun thing is also we're celebrating, you know, it's 20 years I've been an anime fan. 20 years I've been an anime fan. It's like, I first started with BioBoost Armor Giver.
God, I've been watching anime longer than he has.
Well, I started when I was 8, in 1993.
I've been watching anime longer than you've been alive.
I'm sure you have. So what was your first anime, Old Man Lucid?
I can't think that far back. Actually, I think the first anime I ever saw, oddly enough, was Astro Boy. Go figure.
Of all
first
things,
thing I
yeah.
saw was the first thing there was. But
first thing yep. I really actually remember is Voltron.
Which is the first star seen on Toonami, or like you actually had DVDs?
No, this was
This was before Cartoon Network.
Yeah, this was like Saturday morning cartoon type of stuff. That was on.
There were anime-esque programming on prior to Cartoon Network.
Yep.
You just had to either get up really, really early, or be up really freaking late.
Yeah, and that was ours probably like anywhere between 5 and 8 at the time when that came out.
Yeah. And for me, that just started it. You know, I started with Bobby Boucher and MacGyver, and then the DVDs that, you know, I'd rent from Blockbuster, like Dragon Ball Z, The Tree of Might. And then, of course, I just remembering staying up to 3 a.m. in the morning to watch movies on Sci-Fi Channel, like Galaxy Express 999, the first Tenchi movie, Venus Wars. I think really did set where I am as an anime fan.
God, that Tenchi movie was probably the worst one I've ever seen.
I still have a lot of love for it. I'm probably the only one.
So many issues with that movie. Just don't even get me started.
Yeah. But then from that, and then, of course, Toonami, and watching things like Dragon Ball Z, and Sailor Moon, and Gundam Wing, which, again, Gundam Wing has always been my favorite. And then just watching this evolution.
Keep going.
You and your Gundam Wing hate. Soon you will know the power of the dark side.
No, it's never going to happen.
But no, just getting to watch anime evolve in popularity and as a success in this country, I just think has been very fun to watch over the past 20 years.
Yeah.
It is nice to see it finally getting a little more public recognition.
Absolutely.
And we probably have Miyazaki and Disney to thank for that, unfortunately. I hate thanking Disney for anything.
I don't blame Disney as much as I blame Disney's stockholders for all the messed up stuff that they do.
Do they run Disney?
Yep.
And I blame Disney.
You're never going to win.
Nope, I'm never going to win.
You should have learned that by now.
But, you know, with that, we're going to start bringing in some of our live callers to talk. And the first person...
Run for your lives.
The first person we're going to bring in is a good friend of ours. He's been part of the Roundtable and Review. He's been part of Hijacked. He's been on many of my shows. In fact, you probably last heard him on the Comic Book Crazy episode 27, Marvel Movie Madness. We're going to bring in...
I sense a familiar presence in the
place. Yes. We're going to bring in Phantom. Yeah. No, we'll just edit this all in post.
Sure.
What fun's that?
Hello. Hello, hey. I'm here.
Oh, sweet. Ow, my ear.
Oh, sorry.
Why is he only deafening to you?
Yeah.
Sounds fine.
Wait, I hear more voices.
I'm sure you do. The voices in my head.
In my head. I love how we both went to Dennis Leary there.
Where else do you go?
Oh, God, it's 2008 all over again.
So, Phantom, welcome to the show. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, well, you know, same old, same old. Or as someone else would often say, same crap, different day.
Gee, I wonder who that would be.
That is dorky as hell. Who would say a thing like, oh, yeah.
Well, I kind of watered it down for the kids.
We already verified this is an R-rated episode.
Yep.
Okay.
So be warned.
Yes, we have. So Phantom, you know, we're celebrating 5 years of me podcasting. I know I've known you for a long time. I know you've listened to it begrudgingly, probably, to some of my podcasts.
I've heard a few. Maybe even seen some.
In an attempt to see if there's any positive things can be said about my podcasting, what's the favorite thing that I do in my podcast that you like?
Oh, boy. It's hard to pick just one.
Hang on, I can't. Can I field this question?
Sure.
The end.
Oh, man.
I am horrible.
No, you're not. You're why just honest.
You, why did you invite me here again?
Because you're my only friends, that's why.
Oh, you poor, poor bastard.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, man.
Oh, my God. But we are also celebrating 20 years being an anime fan. How long have you been an anime fan, Phantom?
Well, let me think. I guess I was a child of the 80s, so I kind of grew up with the likes of Voltron and Robotech. And back then, I didn't really know it was Japanese anime. I just knew it had this different art style that was very... That was different from anything I've ever seen before. So I got interested, and, well, the rest they say is history.
My elder brother, welcome!
Huh?
You helped me feel only marginally older than they are.
But, you know, with those type of things, it's... You know, again, like I said, it's. I think it's just been fun watching the evolution of anime... For the past 20 years. Has it been that way for you? Or does it just make you feel old?
Well, I would have to pick all of the above. Because, granted, it seems like the, shall we say, the style of the shows seems to have changed over the years. And it's been both interesting and a little more than a little bit disheartening.
I don't know, but I think the past 3 years they've improved, and overall the stuff coming out of Japan has been getting better.
Well, I'm glad to see that your tastes have improved over the years, Thomas. Yeah. I still remember the good old days when you used to try to argue the merits of the story of Ikki Tosin.
What do you mean? He still does that to this day.
Imagine.
No, just ignore the fan service. And I'm ignoring most of the show.
Okay, look,
In all fairness, I actually saw Ikki Tosin showed it at a one of the recent Anime Bostons, I have to admit, it wasn't as offensive as I was expecting. It's pretty much harmless. It's all bark and no bite.
Well, nobody said it wasn't harmless, but it's harmless fan service.
Yeah.
Well, my thing is, I've never said that there wasn't fan service. I've always just said there's also a story going on.
True.
And if you would actually sit there and watch it, you could see it.
True. Though, to be... And I'm going to play the devil's advocate here in that, to be fair, it's a story that has been told before. Dragon Ball Z, believe it or not, the story of that is the same.
Well, Journey to the West is a very popular source material.
It is.
Yeah. Well, but again, Dragon Ball Z is more Journey to the West. Ikki Tosin is more of the Romance of the Three Kingdoms era. Yeah,
the biggest True. Problem with Ikki Tosin's story is that it's a story that not a lot of Westerners quite understand. So because of that, they cling on to the fan service more than the story, and then thus have more negative things to say about it.
Yeah. It is really the frustrating aspect for me to, you know, I go on the internet and there's another aggravating bitching about fan service, whether it be comics or anime, and it's just... Oh, just stop already.
I know.
Do you even watch the story?
In all fairness, there are much more egregious criminals of all fan service and no story than Ikki Tosin.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. In fact, I could name five off the top of my head, but I won't.
Thank you. We appreciate that.
Kiss it, sis! I'm sorry, did that come out?
I'm sorry, what was that? I couldn't hear.
I don't know what you're... Kiss it, sis!
No, I don't think... To tell you the truth, I haven't even watched Excel Saga.
Boy, we are apologizing
tonight. I'm sorry, Mike. I need to adjust my headphones here.
I didn't realize we were doing a pseudo celebrity roast here.
Oh god!
Is it too late to change the format?
I thought this was the format.
Well, just wing it, Thomas. That's what you're good at.
Right, yeah. Because that's what I've been good at, winging it. You know I'm Jewish, right?
No, I didn't know.
Okay, it's a wing and a prayer.
Ooh.
Don't worry, we'll set Sheva for your career.
Yeah. For those who don't know the horrible sneezing while saying the name joke, I attempted Kiss Access, I said.
Oh. Oh.
That horrible little thing that came out in 2010.
I haven't seen it.
Good. Don't.
Well, this would be the way I'd want to put it, is if you're looking at anime as, say, let's look at it as a human life cycle here. Mm-hmm. You know, when most of us started, it was in its infancy. Things were still relatively serious enough about it. We are now probably in that period where I'd say early 20s, where things are still a little infantile and sex-oriented, even when they don't have to be, but we're growing out of it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, let's face it, a few years ago, you know, probably about the time I got done podcasting, we were buried in the teens, where almost everything was, how can we sexualize this?
So you would say that when I left the game, anime was still going through puberty.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much right. Yeah.
We can say that. Yeah.
Although, but let's not dwell so much on the negative aspects here. Is that there have also been a lot of, shall we say, positive influences coming from the Japanese form of storytelling, and that we're starting to see it have an influence on Western productions as well.
Oh, heck yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Did anybody say Pacific Rim?
No.
I tell you, Guillermo del Toro should be arrested for pedophilia because he has the 12-year-old me in all the right places. Oh my god.
I was scared when that was only for a moment. You caught him well lucid.
All right, best joke of the night. Well played, sir. Well played.
Bravo.
Oh, I had over 5 years to get it just the right way. I'm glad to see it has not been for nothing.
Well, for a change, we're going to have you end on a high note, Phantom. Thank you for coming on. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure, guys. Take care.
Next victim.
All right. Next victim. All right. As I, get to the next person.
That was a good one, though.
Yeah.
It was.
I was getting worried there for a second.
I didn't think of it.
Our next person is a very good friend. He is my new co-host for Comic Book Crazy. He's been so much fun, and my God, I...
Familiarity sensor is going off again.
Yes, it is. Oh, Edwin!
Hello?
Yes, it is Edwin, my new co-host from Comic Book Crazy, and who you've heard on many of my shows. Of course, he was on the legendary Hanna-Barbera episode. Edwin, how are you doing tonight?
I am doing well. I am copacetic.
He got that from you, didn't he, Lucid?
He would never. I don't know what he's talking about.
So Edwin,
influence people. Has
he corrupted you, Edwin?
Oh, I've been corrupted by a great many people. Lucid Dream, Chris Finero, Lee Sands, Michael Jordan, but that one's a bit weird.
Okay, show me on the doll where Lucid corrupted you.
All up in the brain pan.
In the special places.
So, you know, one, Edwin, we're celebrating 5 years of podcasting. So, what's it, you know, you, as long as I've known you, you've been a, at least part of Anime Roundtable and Review and the Hijack Podcast. So, what's it been like for you podcasting semi-regularly as like a co-host for 5 years?
Well, I was only on Art Nar for a little while, actually. I mean, I was there for the switch over to Hijacked, and then when Hijacked, Hijacked's complete run. And then, pretty much, I didn't do a podcast for years. After that, I mean, I only recently started showing up again on the Hanna-Barbera episode you invited me on. And then,
which was awesome.
That thing was an adventure.
Two-hour adventure. It's a two-hour tour.
And yet somehow we managed to trump that with the DC movie. No, the comic, the Marvel
movie. Marvel movies, yes. Yeah. The three-hour Marvel movie. Oh, the head fan of you and another member who's in the green room who will be coming on soon.
It was like the J.R.R. Tolkien novel of fan of podcast episodes.
It really was. I had to switch it into three parts.
And, you know, partially in the time I think I've been on one other podcast, like I mentioned last time, though I was completely illegible, the Random Crap podcast hosted by my fans. And then it was mostly you bring you know, wanting my help with Comic Crazy.
Yep. So, and I know you've listened to at least a couple of episodes of some of my podcasts.
Some of them here and there.
Yeah. Is there any particular one that I've done that you've liked in an attempt to make me seem somewhat viable?
Please make me feel good.
Yes. This is the part where you lie to me and tell me you like me.
Tell me you love me. Love me.
I'm going to sound like a complete jackass, but it is the ones I've been on just because it's been the subjects closest to my heart.
Yeah. And they've been fun.
They were absolutely a blast, you know. The only way you could make it more fun is if we somehow ended up doing like a Power Rangers tokusatsu episode where I could just flex the muscles.
We may be doing that soon. We're going to be talking about that because that is something I have been wanting to do with you for a long, long, long time.
Yeah, I spent like 5 years actually becoming thing of a name in fandom. I might as well put it to some use.
So the other thing we're celebrating is we are celebrating. You know, I'm 20 years being an anime fan. So what was your first anime?
Holy shit. Oh, god damn it.
We're going to have this answer all night, aren't we?
I have to say, I was watching anime in the 80s when I didn't know it was anime. So, but if I have to say the first animes that I was really aware were anime, I would have to say that would be Project Eiko.
Another good one.
Yeah, I mean, after that, kind of, like, it was Macross Plus, Project Eiko, you know, things like that, and then it got into, like, the ones on TV, like the Sailor Moon, which really gateway drug.
Yeah. but, yeah, and with that, I just may mention my first was BioBoost Armor Giver.
Oh, I mean, goddamn.
Well, okay, what was wrong with BioBoost Armor Giver?
There's nothing wrong with Giver. Giver's just rough.
And yet it made me fall in love with anime, so it had to do something right.
I'm surprised it didn't make you fall in love with anime and Henshin Hero.
It did.
Yeah, because, I mean, Giver alone will get you into anime, it'll get you into Power Rangers, it'll get you into Tatsunoku anime.
It'll get you into superheroes.
Get you into superheroes. It is, aside from it being excessively violent and dark, it's a really good, you know, opening series.
Mm-hmm. And I think the last question we'll have for you tonight is, what's it been like for you to see anime evolve, especially in this country, for the past 20 years?
It's been a roller coaster. I mean, it was. There were periods where it was so amazing. You had things like, you know, it went from being something obscure and only for guys on VH with VHS tapes to being a multi-million-dollar industry. And then, you know, of course, there was the Toonami era, and then there was, you know, the Moral Guardian parts of it, where people were taking anime that should not be for family entertainment and trying to force them to be, like One Piece and other things. And then, you know, we're currently in an era that's very strange to me, because on the one hand, we're getting stuff that's awesome, but on the other hand, we're also getting things that, you know, writers who think they're more clever than they are, where they take this relatively simple genre, like Transforming Heroes, or, you know, the Knight and Demon Lord type shows, and trying to be clever. And then we have, of course, the thing that really gets me, which is the way Moe is spreading as the dominant voice of anime. So it's been crazy to watch, just to see how it, in within less than 20 years, it's just become many different things.
Yeah, and I think especially in the past 3 years, it's just been absolutely spectacular. I think we've had so many great, viable animes that not only could sell well, but that can be on a place like Toonami, like Hero Man, like Tiger and Bunny, like Sacred Seven.
Or how's about, I don't know, Eccentric Family, or yeah. Sword Art Online.
Sword Art, which is on right now, which is excellent. I think Attack of the Titans is going to be on, though I do fear whether Attack of the Titans will become another Death Note. I'd rather it become another Evangelion, where it's more of a thinking anime, but I do fear it's going to be a bit shallow like Death Note.
Shigeki no Kyojin is really difficult, because it's not deep, and it's not shallow. It's very much kind of a middle-of-the-ground action series, and it's rough. I mean, I haven't seen it, but I know so many people who have, and everything I know about it is so hard
to watch,
to experience.
Yeah. I said this before, Attack of the Titans is the first anime where it showed something that really turned me off to it. That's the first time an anime in its first episode turned me off to something, or at least in a long time it did. Because it was just, and Chris knows what I'm talking about, what happened at the end of the first episode.
I don't know, I can't start watching it. It's like some anime like Claymore.
Yeah.
It's just, if I watch it, I won't be a happy person. And it's not a knock against it, because it's from what I understand, it's an amazing show. But it would just eat away at me. Like, I sat through Shinsekai Yori, it's called in English, From the New World. And that, every week was like a punch to the very core of my ideology.
Well, Random, thank you for coming on. It's been a blast to have both you and Lucid in the same room.
I know, crazy.
At the same time.
Yeah. bit of a reunion here. So thank you for coming. All right?
All right, no problem.
All right, thank you, Random.
Bye. After these messages, we'll be right back.
My name is Michael Bailey, and I am a terrible geek. I don't watch Doctor Who, I don't care for anime, I've never seen any of the Harry Potter films, much less read the books. I like Star Wars and Star Trek okay, but I've never really ventured far into the extended universes of either property. Hell, I have never even watched a single episode of The Walking Dead. So what do I like?
Comic books.
I have been reading and collecting comic books since 1987, and I have been a fan of superheroes for as long as I can remember. Some would consider this a hobby, but I prefer to look at it as what it truly is, a crippling addiction that I may never recover from. To deal with this borderline personality disorder, I started a podcast in 2007 called Views from Long Lost. Every 2 weeks, or so, depending on real life, I pick a particular series, or issue, or character, or whatever to talk about, and then I talk about them, because that's kind of the point of a podcast. Sometimes I'm alone. Sometimes I have a guest, like my semi-regular co-host, the Irredeemable Shag, or my other semi-regular co-host, Thomas DJ, or with another friend from the podcasting world. The show is located at www.viewsfromthelongbox.com, and from there you can find the iTunes link, the email address, as well as the backlog of episodes. Views from the Long Box. A podcast about comics, or a desperate cry for help. You decide. Every other Tuesday, or so, depending on real life. At www.viewsfromthelongbox.com.
Gathered together from the far reaches of the internet, are assembled a network of podcasts dedicated to the first and greatest superhero, Superman. The Superman Podcast Network is dedicated to covering all aspects of the Superman legend, featuring
The Thrilling Adventures of Superman,
Golden Age Superman,
The Superman Fan Podcast,
Superman in the Bronze Age,
From Crisis to Crisis, a Superman podcast,
The Schuster Herald Podcast,
It's Superman,
The Carazerald Podcast,
The Armored Hero Steel, a John Henry Allen podcast,
The World's Best Podcast,
and
Radio KAL from supermanhomepage.com.
Join hosts
Michael Bradley,
John Wilson,
Billy Hogan,
Charlie Niemeyer,
J. David Weider,
Jeffrey Taylor, Michael Bailey,
Scott Gardner,
Sam Rizzo,
Danny Sapp,
Matthew Epps,
I'm Isaac,
I'm Adam,
Dave Yunus, and co-host Scotty V
at supermanpodcastnetwork.com.
The Phantom Zone, home of Krypton's worst criminals. But what would happen if they escaped and found themselves on a planet whose yellow sun and lighter gravity gave them fantastic superpowers? Especially when they also put Superman in the Phantom Zone in the process. Find out starting October 9th when I, Charlie Niemeyer, cover all 4 issues of the Phantom Zone miniseries in a special crossover between my 2 shows, Superman of the Bronze Age and Charlie's Geekcast. It's Kryptonian criminals versus the world's greatest superheroes, while Superman tries to get back to Earth. All this October at supermanofthebronzeage.com, charliesgeekcast.com, and supermanpodcastnetwork.com.
Okay, let's get this show on the road, gang.
I'm Batman.
This looks like a job for Superman.
Monthly Mondays, available the third Monday of every month at twotruefreaks.libsyn.com.
Hey everyone, my name is Michael Bailey.
And I'm Jeffrey Taylor.
and we host a podcast called From Crisis to Crisis, a Superman podcast.
Presented by the Superman homepage. On the show... Wait.
What?
This just isn't working out for me. It's not bombastic enough. We need something epic.
Like what?
Welcome to From Crisis to Crisis, a Superman podcast, presented by the Superman homepage. I am Jeffrey Taylor.
And I am Michael Bailey.
From Crisis to Crisis chronicles the adventures of Superman.
Wait. I'm just not feeling this.
I'm just wondering how there's a needle scratching sound when all of this is clearly digital.
Look, all we need to say is that this is a trailer for a show called From Crisis to Crisis, a Superman podcast presented by the Superman homepage. My name is Michael Bailey.
I'm Jeffrey Taylor.
And every week we give in-depth synopsis and reviews for just about every Superman book published between Man of Steel number 1 in 1986
and Adventures of Superman number 649 in 2006. We also talk about the related Superman media, what was happening in the rest of the world when these comics were published, and what else was going on in the DC Universe.
The show drops every Thursday-ish at the Superman homepage, which is located at www.supermanhomepage.com.
From Crisis to Crisis is also a proud member of the Superman Podcast Network, located at www.supermanpodcastnetwork.com.
So join Jeffrey and I each week as we explore Superman during the post-crisis era, which includes Exile, Panic in the Sky, Doomsday, The Marriage, and beyond.
And write into the show at FromCrisisToCrisis@gmail.com and hear it read on the air, eventually, because we get behind on that sort of thing.
Superman created by Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster. Side effects from Crisis to Crisis include loss of money from buying back issues, a desire to read 20-year-old comic books, nausea, drowsiness, pizza, blurred vision, upset stomach, a desire to kick puppies and kittens, and backache from lifting boxes of Superman comics. If the excitement of From Crisis to Crisis lasts more than 4 hours, seek immediate medical attention.
And so that was him. And next person we're going to be bringing on, as I try to move quickly, is a very good friend of mine. I have so much fun. He is the co-host of the WrestleCast on Reviewtopia, a show that's actually had me on a couple of times and had so much fun on their podcast. So entering now the ring is TWK.
Hello, how you doing?
Hey, TWK, how you doing?
I'm doing quite well.
Hello, whoever you are.
Hello, I'm TWK of TWK Reviews. I review video games, wrestling, and wrestling video games.
Boy, I wasn't meaning to lead him in, but by God, well.
they know how to pimp their stuff over.
Yes,
at
I'm also one half. Yes, you can find my stuff over at the Broken Infinite. And you can also find me on the WrestleCast over at rvtentertainment.com.
He's their resident troll.
More or less, to a degree. That's kind of what I do.
No. We call it a marketing specialist. Don't you know executive speech? Come on, man.
What's this executive speech? TWK, have you ever known me to have executive speech?
No, I've known you to... I don't even know.
You know me to say things like, why is your great Kali still in the WWE? Doesn't he have a mountain in India to go back to or something?
Here's why. Number one. Let's see. No, they already have another Indian guy that's better than him. He has evidence on somebody. He is blackmailing the one of the higher executives.
We're going to go into this past Friday night and the snake charm,
yes!
Aren't we?
I love that segment.
For Lucid and Chris who don't watch wrestling, there was a segment on Friday Night SmackDown where there's a wrestler who has a maneuver called the Cobra, where he puts a green sock on his arm, I kid you not, he calls it the Cobra, and he does like a nerve hit or something.
Yeah, it's a nerve pinch.
Nerve pinch.
Okay, obviously things have gotten even stranger.
And in this particular match, Great Khali, who is a 7-foot Indian guy, and another 6-foot-1 Indian guy named Jinder Mahal, had a snake charming battle.
Yes, it was a snake charming duel, and it was amazing, and a whole bunch of people were shitting on it. And so now I'm probably going to make a video defending it because people are stupid and they don't know how to accept comedy in wrestling, because I've seen a lot goofier shit than that. I've seen invisible hand grenades in wrestling, for God's sakes.
I've seen wrestling. That's goofy enough. Thank you. Yes, I went there. I have attacked every guest so far. You're not special.
Yes, I am. I am special. That's what my mommy says. So it must be true.
Yeah, well, your mother says that about a lot of people.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I can't help myself. Well, yeah, I can't help myself. I just don't want
to. Yep. Yeah, by the way, sorry, I'm having ADD looking at the green room. Zach's apparently asking what questions is we're asking. Edwin's going, what's your first anime? Oh, holy shit.
I think many people for that would say Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah. But actually, that's not the first question. Right now, TWK, this is the part of the show where we ask you to make a sacrifice to society and tell me something good about myself. And
good luck.
Do I have to?
Yes, we're going to keep running this joke into the ground, folks.
By God, we are.
Do I have to say something nice about you?
Yes.
Fine. For a Floridian,
say
you don't...
something nice about me if you really want.
All right, Mattis. For a Floridian, you don't suck that hard.
Well, that doesn't mean anything because I'm not from Florida. I don't live in Florida anymore.
You're still Floridian to me. Fine, for a Canadian, you don't suck too hard.
I'm not from Canada.
Then why do you always love singing the national anthem?
Because it's a great national anthem.
I will admit, it's better than the current one we have.
Not the same. Anyways, but... have you listened to any of my podcasts, I'm hoping?
Every single one of them.
Well, somebody has to.
Yeah, somebody does.
I honestly feel bad for not listening to any of them, but so many things happen in my life that I don't have time to, but I will try and make an effort now to do so.
Or so he says. But and I'll remember that next time I'm on WrestleCast.
So, what of mine did you listen to recently?
Type.
This one. Yeah.
Yes.
The one about the geek stuff?
The one about the thing, you
the
know,
one about
that
all
happened.
The stuff. The one where you talk about the comic books and the doku and the anime. Yeah, that one.
And the things and the pudding pop.
We did talk about, and for the matter, what's it been like, because again, you're more than just anime. You are been a fan of wrestling and a lot of stuff.
Yeah,
so
the two main main things that I really enjoy are pro wrestling, heavy metal, and video games.
Yeah. So with that being said, what's it been like for you as a fan of what you've been a fan on and watching your fandoms grow for the past 20 years?
It's been fun. I think that's the best way to put it, fun.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, anything in particular that you really see has evolved over the past 20 years?
Wrestling really has. When you just look at how it's changed, I mean, 20 years ago, there was a pay-per-view on once every few months, and now there's feels like there's a pay-per-view every goddamn week.
Yeah, well, that would be the group known as TNA.
TNA! TNA! TNA!
Whoa, now we're doing a porn cast?
Yep. It all comes back to porn.
God damn it, Hogan, you had to release that tape.
It's the internet. Of course it comes back to porn.
It always comes back to porn.
The internet is for porn.
The internet is for porn.
Yep.
We'd continue on, but we're afraid of getting sued.
Really? We're afraid of being sued?
No, but it sounded good.
We need an excuse. We forgot the rest of the lyrics.
Yeah. And I'm just stalling for time because that's what I do. Anything you want to leave the show with, TWK?
I'd like to leave them with, aside from plugging for my videos, which you can watch at twkreviews.wordpress.com and thebrokeninfinite.blogspot.com and find me on the WrestleCast over at rvtentertainment.com, I'd like to leave you with this, a simple thought. Yes.
Good thought.
Mads because gets it.
That is the answer.
Yes. Yes. Yes, it is.
Yes.
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 Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes.
And do at some point we're going to turn this podcast into a Daniel Bryan to guest chant.
No. No. No.
TWK, thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me on.
All right.
Bye-bye.
And that was TWK, and I think at this point, Chris and Lucid are like, God, how long is this going to go on?
Hours and hours.
Next on the show is also from the WrestleCast, the host, who's done over 200 episodes of the WrestleCast. He's a good friend of mine, and I'm glad to have him on the show today. It's, ladies and gentlemen, Matty J.
Even live, what's going on?
Hey, Matty, what's up? Welcome to my live call-in show. Thank you for coming.
Thank you. I've been begging for a link so I could hear for the rest of the show, and anyway.
Yeah, thank you for coming on. Celebrating 5 years of podcasting, celebrating 20 years being a fan of my fandom and other fandoms. So thank you for coming on.
Well, 5 years, that's a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, have you been doing it long? Because I know you're 200 episodes, but then again, you've been doing it weekly. So have you been reached 5 years yet, or?
No, we just passed three, so there's that. Hey, 5 years is a milestone. I'm not going to knock it, so.
You know, it's funny, you know, of course I have Chris, my friend Chris, who did the Shaft podcast, who's the reason this craziness is on the internet, along with Lucid Dream, the other person responsible.
We apologize.
Yeah, nothing to apologize for, that's for sure.
Oh no, there's lots to apologize
for. Well, that old Canada joke thing probably is one thing to apologize for, but...
Which I ran into the ground, because that's what I do.
Hey, you and I are the same when it comes to running jokes, so I'm not... well, wait, so, be happy I have not inflicted the Macho Man button on you guys.
I've already been banned from using that. From Edwin, by the way. But, again, for you, again, you being a podcaster, you said you'd be doing 3 years. Mm-hmm. What's it been like for you doing three straight years of podcasting?
It doesn't feel like 3 years. I mean, well, it has felt like 3 years, of course, but it's... I don't think of it as, you know, as... That's a hard one to answer, because I don't think of it as, oh, yeah, I want to do 3 years. For me, I feel like I just want to do a podcast on a weekly basis where I could do, you know, talk about professional wrestling. That's really all I really want to do, so.
And I can say for a fact, again, you're one of the shows I listen to weekly. It's just so much fun to listen. Whether, you know, again, yeah, I'm guilty of saying, yeah, I love listening to myself because we have so much fun. But, you know, when Rappo's on, because Rappo's that friend that you love to be around until he starts stuff in the mall.
He give him just that 1 inch of room, he'll run like a mile with it. That's the kind of guy he is. But, which is true. So things like that help, you know, what's a good word for it? The monotony?
Yeah.
It's not really a word I would use personally for it, but, you know, it's a word that's appropriate. Yep.
Absolutely. So, besides my horrible idea of having this show on tonight, which is apparently the greatest night in TV, making you miss Breaking Bad finale, here's another sacrifice you need to do. Mm. This is the part of the show where we ask you to say something nice about my podcast and to make me feel good about myself.
All right, I get the roast Mattis Lionheart. All right.
Hey, somebody who gets it.
Or roast. Either way, you don't like roast. It's apparently one and the same on this episode.
Well, you know, here's the thing. 5 years, and I've only listened to, like, one or two shows. So, all I can say is... Well, What can I say that has been said about, well, Zack Ryder's current push? Oh, wait, there is. But no, I'm not. You know. Well, for anything else, I mean, like I said, I don't listen to very many podcasts, but I do occasionally listen to some, and one of the on occasion. And I will say this: anytime I do pop in yours, it is a good show to listen to.
Yeah.
So it's well, that.
Which I thank you for, because now I feel good about myself. I can put that knife that's by my bed away.
Yes, put that knife away and replace it with a shotgun. I kid.
And now I'm going to get letters from the same people who were complaining about DC a couple weeks ago. So with that, again, the other thing is I'm celebrating 20 years of my particular fandom, which is being an anime fan. I know you've been at least 20 years a fan for, you know, wrestling and stuff like that. Well, so
it's going on 12, I believe, but I stopped counting.
So with that, what's it been like for you? You know, what really got you into your fandom, and what has it been like to watch your fandom grow over the past years?
I have way too many fandoms. A parallel for 20 years of fandom would be Power Rangers, and of course, it's like seeing your childhood, and other kids could see a kid grow up with similar heroes. But with wrestling, when it started, it was, you know, as a kid, you know, watching, you know, Wrestling Challenge or whatever as a kid, and of course the parents going, no, that's too violent, you can't watch that. So they allow me, so 2 years later, they allow me to watch Power Rangers, go figure. which I've learned interesting things. It was on Global for a while, and then it moved, you know, Power Rangers, that is, moved to YTV, and then it got knocked off. I didn't have YTV back then, so, you know, once season two got yanked off Global TV, you know, I was just shit out of luck on that one. But when it comes to wrestling, what really got me to become a fan, like a longtime fan, the fan you hear now, I've heard of ECW. We have just gotten TNN, and I think 3 months later we would actually have our basic cable package would include TSN, which at the time, which is 2001, TSN was the carrier for Monday Night Raw. So I would see one ECW wrestling fan, because after that, TNN just like, okay, fuck that ECW shit. We're not advertising, we're going to garble it. Yeah, you could see where that went. It was December 2000, just around the time Mick Foley lost his job as commissioner.
Again.
Yeah, you figure that one out. But, before Christmas break, I had injured my knee to a point where I needed surgery. So I'm in the hospital, the TV's on, and they happen to have TSN first. They happen to have TSN, and I turn it on. I'm off drugs, but I'm off any major league drugs. I'm off the morphine, but I'm still like a little woozy. So
because that's what that's how great Canada's Medicaid and Medicare and health plan is. They just give you drugs.
Well, morphine is what it is. It's the shit that keeps you from go screaming and waking the other patients up. But I digress. So
yeah,
I was about to say my memory's a little foggy, but I do remember the match. I actually remember watching the match. It was a 6-man tag. It wasn't a 6-man tag. It was a tag team match involving the Radicals, two of the Radicals, which was Perry Saturn, Dean Malenko, Chris Benoit, Eddie Guerrero, versus the Hardy Boys, and Lita was at ringside. So, and I think they're either building up or they were following up on Armageddon 2000, where Lita got pinned by Dean Malenko. Don't ask. It's the Attitude Era. You know, you have to watch it for yourself if you don't know.
Yeah. Oh, I remember that, yeah.
But so I would watch it, and I'd be just be mesmerized. And, of course, 2 weeks later when TSN got it, It was around the Royal Rumble, and what really sold me was, believe it or not, a Rock promo. It was he was going on Stephanie McMahon, which ironic that Stephanie McMahon now is a heel and probably one of the more effective on the microphone now, and she's like gotten more effective. That's the weird part, but. He goes off, you know, he goes off $7.8 million, a $2, no, $1, no, 50 cent, no, I'll take your nickels, dimes, and pennies, stick it, put it in a rolling piggy bag, and stick it right up your ass, slut.
Yeah, that promo, yeah.
That kind of promo.
Yeah.
It was when The Rock actually could cut promos at a very decent pace.
You know, pre-Hollywood Rock.
Pre-Hollywood. No, this was Wrestling Rock.
Yeah.
But, and of course that in Austin, it was actually Austin versus the night where Austin versus Kurt Angle and Triple H had come back to screw Stone Cold out of the WWE title. So just following that, of course, it sunk in and, you know.
Yeah.
Just at the tail end of the Attitude Era and just Rock Austin 2. I mean, that WrestleMania just, that. WrestleMania 17.
Yeah.
I think, you know, that year, if you want to be a wrestling fan, a good / bad time to become one was around the greatest WrestleMania ever.
Yeah.
But I digress. Been a fan ever since. I'm just going to say that.
Yeah. Well, Maddie, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to have you on.
Well, a pleasure is all mine, and congratulations on 5 years. And I got to ask you a question.
Yeah.
Because you've had T-Dub on, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And I'm curious. He's unavailable next Friday to do the WrestleCast.
All right.
Would you need me? Would you like to be on?
Absolutely.
Little birthday gift, little anniversary gift, be a guest host on the WrestleCast for a week?
Oh, absolutely. You know I'm always there for you, Matt.
Of course.
All right. All right, Matty. I'll catch you later.
No, you have a good one.
All right. And that was Matty. And Lucid and Chris are about ready to kill me.
No, we're just sitting here going, are we in the right place?
Yeah.
Well, we're going to switch from wrestling now to comics, because now I'm going to have my good friend, Zach, a.k.a. Spidey Dude, who's been on a guest host on many of my shows. Zach, how you doing?
Hello there.
Hello.
Welcome, victim.
Welcome, victim. Yeah. Oh,
yes, it's been that type of podcast, Zach.
Actually, I should say welcome victimizer, because we've all been picking on Thomas.
I'll be honest with you. That's child's play. I mean, honestly.
Yeah.
I mean, my question to you, Thomas, are you wearing your yellow shirt? Yes, you are. Don't lie.
That's the same yellow shirt that you always wear.
Actually, no. I'm wearing an orange shirt, but that's close.
Well, at least you're not wearing a red shirt, because that would make you look like the Kool-Aid Man. That would be a bad idea.
Yeah.
It has red on it.
Oh, man.
But thank you,
Wait, you have the Kool-Aid Man on your shirt? Is that what you just said?
No, I said I have red on it.
Oh.
It's one of the orange shirts is...
I was expecting you to bust through the wall and say, oh, yeah! Be like, no! Naughty Kool-Aid! Back up! My dad's gonna kill me! Sorry.
Again, folks, that whole part of this is why I don't have any enemies.
I am your enemy. What are you talking about?
Yeah, that's right. You're a Republican. The only place I could go. I'd rather do that than for the 20-minute time talk about your Rangers or your Cowboys.
Hey, the Rangers won today. I don't care. Cowboys, not so much. But the Rangers won today. Game 163 tomorrow night in Arlington against Tampa Bay. So, you know.
Wait, I thought Tampa Bay had the tiebreaker.
No, they're playing a game 163 tomorrow night for the final wild card spot. Because they lost, because Tampa Bay lost Saturday night, and the Rangers just won out. They swept the Stros and the Angels, which is really not very hard to do, but especially the Stros. But
No, I thought you'd be happy about your Cowboys. They're in first place.
They are in first place, but the game today was pretty ugly. I mean, nothing is as ugly as the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, except for maybe the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Jacksonville Jaguars. So
don't.
I mean, at least you're not Jacksonville. You have everything but a quarterback.
Yeah. Anyways, back to what we're supposed to be talking about here, because
there's a topic. Wait, what?
Yes. The topic is you're roasting me. Or as I like to call it, this is the part of the show where you make a sacrifice to America and say something nice about me and my podcast.
So mock unmercifully.
Despite the misspeaking like 15 times every episode, you certainly are prolific. Let me think of something
that's
else.
That's exactly
best episode that I
talk a lot.
Yeah. The question is he talks a lot, does he actually say a lot? That's the question.
No.
Does he know what he talks? Is he well researched? No.
Try it again.
I mean, your whole rant on Brave, my friend, you had no basis to have that rant. You just went off on a giant Jew nerd rant and had nothing of real substance. You didn't even see the movie, man.
Actually, I have seen the movie now, and I still stand by it.
Yeah, after the show.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, after the show. You didn't see it before the show.
I've only recently gotten to see Brave.
But you had a problem with Brave.
I didn't have a problem with Brave. I had the problem with the complaint people had about Brave. The whole controversy that they were making her too sexy, which I didn't think they were.
No. That's not about the movie. That's about how they altered her character after the movie to put her into the princess line.
Yeah, that's what I was ranting about.
See, okay, I'll defend the argument that shouldn't happen.
Well, okay. I'll defend the argument that Disney's out to make money, and so they want to group all their female characters together. Sorry.
And, you know, I don't argue that. I know that it's a business and it's about the money. But I really didn't think it was necessary. But they're going to do what they
terribly
want.
Terribly disagree, but...
And, you know, I've always referred to Disney as the empire anyway.
Yeah, they've had the girls' market by the ovaries from like 30 years. So I mean, they've been the whole reason they bought Marvel and Star and Lucasfilm was to get the boy market. For God's sake.
Yeah.
So I mean, yeah.
Well, I will say this:
do it on their own. They spent. What's that?
Go ahead.
I mean, they cornered the boys' market way back in the day, the girls' market, and they've struggled no matter what they've done to try to get the boy market, and it hasn't succeeded. So, unfortunately for them. So that's why they bought Marvel and they bought Lucasfilm, because, they were for sale, and...
They can make money off of
them. Well, and unfortunately, as much as I hate to dump...
I mean, they spent 8.8... Go ahead.
I was going to say, as much as, you know, I rail on Disney and I do not like them as a company, they've done well by Marvel.
Well, they've left Marvel alone. And
that's pretty much it.
I mean,
but
for the most part.
Disney, that's doing well by them.
Well, I mean, the thing is you buy an established studio that is hugely successful with the partnership with Paramount even before they got there. If it ain't broke, don't fix it, and we're going to make a bunch of money. So let Kevin Brigade do his thing, and we'll just sit back and count our
Benjamins. And sold the game rights to EA.
Well, okay. EA is the largest, one of the largest companies in video gaming anyway, and I think that they licensed the rights. They didn't sell the rights. They still own everything. They're still going to make money. They're just not going to, you know,
they're not going to make anything good.
Well, see, I don't get this whole railing against EA. I think EA is hit and miss. I think they've done some good things and some bad things, just like any other company. But because they are so prolific, there's a proliferation of the market that seems to indicate that there's not a whole lot of great games coming from EA. But, you know, for the most part, you get these smaller companies, and they're the ones that are pushing the envelope. I think EA sometimes plays it way too safe.
Yeah. So back to why I suck.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. I'm sure we can go on with that one for a great many times, but...
Yeah, I mean that's really not that interesting to hear. You hear that every episode, there, Thomas.
But the main topic of this episode...
I thought the main topic of this episode was to celebrate your, quote, 5 years, unquote.
Yeah, and we've been doing a great job of that.
Yeah.
I thought the main topic was... I love how
you don't you're like, hey, come kick me in the balls for a dollar on the weekend. Come kick me in the balls, please. Because I think you're secretly a masochist that enjoys, you know, takes some sort of twisted pleasure out of getting kicked in the balls. And,
no, I'm Jewish.
And it's like shooting. Well.
Fair enough.
I could go so far with that. You're let's get it right. You're half Jewish, okay? You're not even
half.
Your dad's Christian.
Oh, so he's Jew-ish.
Yeah, exactly.
But well, let's not get into the difficulties of religion here.
You can't say I'm fully Jewish.
But I am.
What you're insinuating when you're
half. I've been bar mitzvah. I've been bar mitzvahed. I'm fully Jewish.
Okay. Okay, but of your familiar descent, you are half.
So, yeah, okay. I'll come halfway out with you on that. But
there you go.
Anyways.
Because I'm not technically wrong.
I'm so lost, I'm not going to argue anymore.
Okay. Well, that's a short trip for you, so let's continue.
Hi-oh!
But, you know, the other thing is, again, I'm celebrating 20 years as an anime fan, and, of course, you've been 20 years as a comic book fan.
Okay.
So what has it been for, like, you being a comic book fan and a Spider-Man fan and just watching the fandom grow to where it is today?
So, you know, I started during the Clone Saga, and so I started in a very controversial period of Spider-Man history, a period that also... In Marvel's history, that was a period of time for a lot of massive changes. This was really the Clone Saga was the last gasp of sales for Marvel that were strong and consistent. The first half of the Clone Saga was really, you know, incredibly. I don't know if it was incredibly well received, but it was a very, very big seller. As Marvel started to pick up the pieces and start finally getting a direction after the sales guys kind of drove it into the ground. Marvel finally gets, you know, some really good storytelling done with the second half of the Clone Saga, but around that same time, it was a down period for Marvel, down period for the comics market in general, and Marvel ended up declaring bankruptcy. It was bought up by Toy Biz.
Skype, we gotta love it.
Oh,
hello?
Ye lord of connection issues.
Chris really hates me right about now.
Hello.
he's back.
You okay there, Zach?
Hello.
We can hear you. Can you hear
okay.
us?
Okay. I can hear y'all. I can hear y'all fine. I don't know what's going on. So anyway, you know, as a fan, I survived the end of the Clone Saga. I survived the Mackie Byrne reboot, where A feeble attempt to get rid of the marriage was attempted in Spider-Man's history by killing off Mary Jane. Went through the JMS Paul Jenkins period, which was a very good period for Spider-Man creatively, and its rise really began with the Joe Quesada hire. Bob Harris was the editor-in-chief before that, and basically drove Marvel almost straight into the ground with a lot of his creative decisions. And really, he was the guy that was on the sinking ship as Marvel was declaring bankruptcy and trying to emerge from bankruptcy. Around that same time, they finally emerged, and Quesada took over, and a renaissance of Marvel in general occurred. So we saw an up period, and to the point it was brought back so far that it enabled the purchase for Disney to begin its, you know, its acquisition of Marvel. And around that time with Quesada and the renaissance in the comic side, Avery Arad was hugely successful in shopping the property to Sony of Spider-Man and Daredevil and Ghost Rider. And then Fox got the X-Men franchise and Fantastic Four. And so that really launched them into doing with the Marvel Studios films. And so as a comic fan, I've seen a huge turnaround just socially with comic books and the comic book movies. And it's now socially acceptable to be a comic book fan and to be a fan of these characters. You're seeing the T-shirts everywhere. You're seeing the fandom just grow. And it may not grow on the comic side, but there's a lot of people that have eyeballs now on superheroes in general, and it's now become a full-fledged genre and a viable one. I mean, you had Oscar-winning performances with superhero movies. You have Oscar winners that are signing on to roles. You know, you had Martin Sheen and Sally Field in the Amazing Spider-Man movie. You had Halle Berry in the X-Men movies. Amy Adams has been, I think she was nominated for an Oscar. Hugh Jackman's been nominated for an Oscar. His career was launched because of superhero movies. Ian McKellen, Patrick Stewart, both guys that had a lot of cred, but are very respected actors in their fields. I mean, you have a lot of respect for the genre of the superhero film, and that's probably what's exploded over the last decade especially.
Yeah, I would agree with it. I think that's the thing about most fandom, whether it be anime, comic books, video games, all of that, is that it has become more socially acceptable. I mean, Chris Lucid, would you agree with that?
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, I mean, there really is nothing to add to that. It is how it's become. It's now mainstream media. We actually have people announcing that it is the era of the geek again.
Right.
As far as
there was an era of a geek before,
not openly. We are a secretive evil lot.
That is true. Well, Zach, I really do thank you for coming on. You are a great friend, and I always love having you on my shows.
Yeah, because I carry your ass.
Because I can't get one person to say one nice thing about me tonight.
Nope.
Hey, nope. Man, in all seriousness, congratulations on your anniversary, and keep up the good work.
All right. Thank you, Zach.
You're welcome, sir. Have a good night.
Have a good night. So, with that, we are to our last person.
Yay!
Finally, freedom!
Because you don't hide your emotions!
What's this hide he's talking about?
I know.
This is one of the only persons that doesn't have a
podcast.
Yeah, that thing.
Again,
that 88 thing person. This has been an adventure, folks. I knew it was going to be an adventure, and I wanted to try it. And again,
and
I cannot say how much.
Every minute of it.
Yes.
Never again.
How do I edit these guys out?
Oh, man.
So entering the call, our last listener, is Robert Bell. Here comes Robert. Hey, Robert, how are you tonight?
Good.
Thank you for coming on the show.
Yeah, awesome.
Awesome. So, Robert, we basically have two questions that we're going to be asking you tonight.
The first one is, how badly can you mock him?
Yes, this is the part of the show where you make a sacrifice to America and tell me something good so I can feel good about myself, about my shows, what you like about my shows, if there's a particular favorite episode. In other words, you get to roast me.
Or you be like everybody else and you make fun of him.
Yeah, that's what I just said. So what's your answer to that question, Robert?
Well, I haven't really listened to your show that much. Besides, the AI Yoshi episode, because that was actually a favorite of mine.
Yep.
Because of anime.
Yeah.
And, I haven't listened to any of your stuff, mainly because I have so much other stuff I have to do, like work and, in living, so stuff like your stuff qualifies that waste time compared to stuff like that podcast, Spider-Man Qualface. Yeah, that's awesome. Yours, not so much.
Yeah, that other show is a lot better than yours. You suck.
Well, see, my fans are honest about me.
Oh, that's great.
So the other question is for you, Robert, is, you know, what's it been like to be for your fandom to watch what your particular fandom is to grow for the past 20 years?
Well, I have a lot of fandoms. I like Doctor Who. I like anime. I like Star Wars. I like a lot of stuff. So this one particular fandom is amazing, but also it's kind of sad because my niche market here for anime has expanded outwards, but then also is decreased wise because one second, I'll look back. Yeah. Sorry.
Oh wow.
Oh sorry. I didn't get that. Sorry. See that. I'm going to hit the meat. I had to go to get some food. I'll be back.
Well, actually, we need to go to the next caller, Robert, but I thank you for coming on, though.
Wait.
I haven't finished mocking you yet.
Yeah, please continue.
Okay. Well, what my thought was, I'm happy that anime has grown, but I'm also sad because people aren't buying anime, and especially America, because we're cheapskates and we like to go on YouTube and go on other sites that go on like Crunchyroll, which is way better than actually not illegal and wrong. You should buy your anime or manga. They're stealing it, basically.
Yep.
Okay, that's my thought.
Well, Robert, I thank you for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Okay.
Enjoy that's your fun. Dinner.
I will. It's spaghetti.
All right. Actually, guys, we have one more person to bring on. He just came in.
You lied to me.
Yeah.
Got my hopes up and dashed them. How dare you, sir? That's my job.
Tommy! Hey, ladies and gentlemen, our last caller of the evening is my good friend Austin, back from one of the anime clubs I used to do in Florida. Austin, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing awesome, dude. I didn't forget you.
Oh, I know you've done.
We're sorry.
I think this is your first time doing a live call-in, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Amnesia is the only hope any of us have.
So I... Hey, it's the story of my life. So we have two questions we're going to ask you, Austin.
Sure.
The first question is, I need you to tell me something good about me, about maybe like my podcast or my experience in your anime club, and you hear that last laughter in the background.
Well, that saves
because
me
what we really
from,
mean...
That saves me from having to tell it or be like everybody else and make fun of it.
Thomas is very informative and detailed. He'll go on a tear about something forever.
Okay, now put the script away and tell us what you really thought.
Oh, that's the truth. He's very detailed. He knows a lot about stuff. You know, sometimes I used to ask him a lot of questions. He used to be a Spider-Man fanatic.
Oh, I still am. I'm into everything Spider-Man, into anime and everything.
Oh, yeah.
So, and I can tell you for a fact, we had so much fun. The club nights, I think my favorite still is watching Raging Phoenix. Because we'd watch it at Austin's place, and he basically showed it on screen on the wall.
Yeah, we got an HD projector.
Yeah. With that being said, the last question I guess we have for you is, you know, what has it been like seeing fandom grow for the past 20 years?
Well, I guess fandom's always been around, but it's probably taken a tremendous step due to, you know, internet communication, technology. You know, now we can chat through a camera and Skype or AIM or something. I'm probably 20 years ago, I'd say that wasn't around.
Yeah.
Too sure. You know, but it's easier now, and word flows, you know, at a massive pace. You know, like you have videos that go viral and all this crazy stuff.
Yeah. Anything in particular, like, what was your first anime?
My first anime was Dragon Ball Z. First thing I see when I woke up out of a coma.
Oh, man.
I think you remember that.
I think I remember that story. Yeah, I remember us talking about that. And that just got you into anime, didn't it?
Oh, yeah, I seen some dudes getting actually killed in a cartoon. It was fascinating.
As it always is. Any last words you have? Because you are the last caller of the night, Austin.
Oh, I am?
Yep.
Yay! I was trying to do that one dude, you know, the dude that goes, yeah, that rap guy with the big ass gold cup, and he's like 5 feet tall.
Yeah. Well,
little
Austin,
I'm trying to do his thing, yeah.
Well, Austin, I thank you for coming on. I know you do in a anime place in Florida, so do you want to pimp it real quick?
Yeah, we own a place called Anime on Central. It's in downtown St. Pete off of 9th Street between 3rd and 4th Avenue.
Yeah.
We got kicked out of our... I created an anime group about 8 years ago. I built it up, had awesome, awesome meetups, and then somehow we got kicked out of our own group.
Funny
how that works. Yeah. But, Austin, I thank you for coming on, man.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We will catch you later. All right, Austin?
Okay, buddy. Take care.
Take care. All right, and that is it for the live call-in for the show.
Thank
Chris,
God.
I'm a horrible person, I know.
Oh, yeah.
I will kill you.
Go ahead, say it. Just say it. I don't know how to do this.
Wait, what do you want me to say?
Just say everything that's been already said for the past hour.
Yeah. Well, yeah. What everyone else said. I concur.
But to come back to reality, in all seriousness, it really has been fun. I let everybody hate on me because it's better than everybody hating on everybody else. But seriously, I thank you for guys for being my friends.
He's our Meg.
Yes. I am your Meg. You're right. But seriously, like Chris, you do so much for me. I can never thank you enough. You're always there for me.
Oh, that's so sweet. I'm not.
Oh, man.
And look, no, listen, but you, in seriousness, you are one, another great friend. I love hanging out, love talking with you. I always have fun with you, just like I do with Chris, just like I do with Gene. I mean, what else is there for you to say other than end the call, Tommy, we want to go to sleep?
Yeah. Well, you know, since they've been sitting through this show this long to listen to something that's actually good, head on over to ShaftPlus.com. We will be releasing our summer movie in review show shortly. So that'll be coming out maybe before this comes out. But if you want to listen to us make fun of Thomas even more, go ahead and check that show out.
Because we don't have enough of that.
Exactly. Exactly.
Is there such a thing?
Okay, this is my goal for the year, for somebody to say something nice about me.
Well, you just had that guy say something nice about you.
Yeah.
You have lovely widow's peaks.
What?
All right, how's this? Your hentai collection is
top-notch
and
unparalleled.
Yes, unparalleled to any other one that I have ever seen.
Is that
wonderful? That's the only good thing you can't say about it. You can't say anything good about the way I do a podcast. Wonderful. Any seriousness that we want to get Dare to go to?
I think it's too late for seriousness at this point.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll hear it off air.
Yeah.
We've both been, you know, deemed by your listeners as assholes by this time. So why ruin it now?
Exactly.
Yeah. But seriously, guys, thank you for, you know, spending your night with me, having some fun, as guys do, as friends do. I really do appreciate it. Because only friends would do this to other friends, or at least that's what they keep telling me.
And what's worse is we've got them believing it.
Yes, I know.
I can't believe I'm getting away with this shit.
Seriously, have you guys had a blast tonight?
It's been a good night.
Yeah, it's been good.
So, I want to thank everybody for checking in my birthday bass bonanza. Again, you know all the ways to contact us. You know all the shit you can check out, all the other sites you can check out that do stuff way better than I do, which of course includes Chris and the Shaft Plus podcast. So that is it, ladies and gentlemen. Have a good night.
Bye.
Welcome to the televised revolution. As we drift through outer space aboard the Absolution, with time back in active duty as captain, in charge of bringing superior anime action. Yeah, you came to the right place. If you have a taste for animation in deep space base, broadcast through your television. Due to the progress of the Bring Back Toonami Twitter mission, the same block that brought us Sailor Moon and Dragon Ball Z is back, so stay tuned. I remember way back, never leaving my room. I stay glued to my TV weekday afternoons. Yeah, and thanks to Adult Swim, I have a reason to use the TV in my room again. Cause every night I'll be tuning in, since they going back to showing Action Tunes again. Toonami's back, bitches. Wait, did you say Toonami's back, bitches? That's the official hashtag if you missed it, to celebrate Tom's return to television. Yeah, Toonami's back, bitches. Wait, did you say Toonami's back, bitches? That's the official hashtag if you missed it, to celebrate Tom's return to television. Welcome to the Anime Action Fan Sanctuary, with Tom providing that slick commentary. The other king of television besides Mary, full of new shows and classics on the itinerary.
Well, that about does her. Hope you enjoyed it. This is Tom, signing off. And until we meet again, you know the rest. Thank you.